We would like to thank Karen and Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's Lox and Learn, Leila Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. In addition, we thank Barbara Brightson for contributing as well in memory of her father, David Yehuda ben Yisrael Noach. His Neshama should have an Aliyah. So this morning we're going to cover Perek Bet Mishnah 15, according to most countings, a statement of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon has two Mishnayos dedicated to him, this one and the next one. Perhaps we'll spend some time understanding the character and personality of Rabbi Tarfon next year. For this week, we're just going to focus on what he says, not who he was necessarily. So let's just jump in. What does he say? Source number one, Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Hayom katsar, v'hamalacham ruba, v'apoalim atzelim, v'askar harbe v'alabayis dofik. So there's a number of elements to what seems to be a metaphor. Hayom katsar, the day is short. That's element number one. V'amalacha meruva, there's a lot of work to do. That's number two. V'apoalim atzelim, the workers are lazy. V'askar harbe, there's a lot of reward. V'alabayis dofik, and the master, the employer, is insistent, he's pushing, he's knocking, he wants things to get done. So presumably Rabbi Tarfon isn't just giving us a nice, you know, pithy statement about, labor relations and employer-employee relations. There's something deeper here that has to do with how we understand God, perhaps, the Torah. So we'll have to delve in to see what the commentators say. How do they understand? What is the metaphor? What's the message here? There's obviously something about, getting things done. But what's the exact idea? So if you look in part number one here, source number two, first we're going to talk about what exactly is the metaphor, and we'll see that at least in the beginning, most of the Mefarshim line up, that we're talking about similar ideas. There's one particular message that we should take home. Starting with source number two, actually let's skip to three for a second. We'll skip two for now. Three, Rashi says, Hayom katsar, what does that mean, that the day is short? Ha'olam hazeh. Life is short, not just the day, but our entire life is short. Uval bayis dochek, who's this balabayas, this employer or this head of household who is pushing us, insisting? That's God. So now, the question is, so what is God pushing us to do? So we're going to do a deep reading of Rashi here, because Rashi is about to tell us a pasuk, and we'll have to infer from what Rashi means as to what the message is. Shene'emar, it says a pasuk in Yoshua, Vagisa bo yomam balayla. You shall contemplate it day and night. So Rashi just snuck some message in here. Remember, from the Mishnah itself, we're not exactly sure what we're supposed to be doing. Right? What's the takeaway? There's not a lot of time for what. Right? So Rashi says here, God is the balabayas. How do I know that God is the balabayas? Because here's a pasuk that says that Vagisa bo yomam balayla. But what's the inference? What is there not a lot of time for? What does God want us to do? What does this pasuk represent? Anybody know? What is Vagisa b'yomam b'layla? Learning Torah. Right, this is a go-to pasuk for learning Torah in Chazal. You should learn Torah day and night. All the time you should learn Torah. Vagisa b'yomam b'layla. So Rashi here, again, I'm just highlighting that that's not explicit within the statement of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon doesn't say, the day is short, therefore learn a lot of Torah. Rashi, at least from now, as an inference, is telling us that we're talking about learning Torah, as we'll see a little bit more explicitly in source number 4 and 5. Other Mefarshim bring this out as well. So look at source number 4. The Rambam says, Zeh mashal l'kotzer achayim. So similar to Rashi, who referenced Olam Hazeh, Rambam says also, what does it mean that there's not a lot of time? It means life is short. Verov ha-chachma. So now the Rambam, as he's apt to do, doesn't just focus on Torah, but he says all of wisdom. Verov ha-chachma, there's a lot to learn. Torah-wise, otherwise, there's a lot to learn. Va'atzelus b'nei ha-adam milid dorsha. And people are lazy. People don't seek out this wisdom. People don't seek out Torah. Im rov hascharla, even though there's a lot of reward for doing it, v'im ziros hatorah v'chizukua ala drisha v'alimud. And now, so what's the message, Rabbi Tarfon? Rabbi Tarfon is telling us that we need to be insistent. We need to be persistent. We need to have zrizus, alacrity, to be able to learn Torah, because there is a yetzer hara, if you will, and we'll elaborate on this in part two, for why we are quote-unquote lazy. Why are these workers lazy? But for now, the point is that we have to learn a lot, and we don't want to so much, or we're not so quick to do it. So Rabbi Tarfon saying, make sure that you don't procrastinate. If you look at source number five, Rabbeinu Yonah, again, building off of similar concepts here, says, Rabbi Tarfon Omar, Ayom Katsar Bamalacham Ruba, Ayom Katsar, Elu Yimosam Shem Katsarim. Again, our life is short, Keneged HaTorah Shimaruba, but in contrast to our life being short, there's so much Torah to learn. There's so much Torah to do, if you will. Shehi Maruba Arucha Me'aretz Mida V'rachva Minayam. It's so wide and vast. Ve'ein Yored L'Sof. We're never going to get to the depths of Torah. We're never going to finish. The task is never going to be complete. V'zeu Sha'amru. That's why it says Moshe Rabbeinu had 40 days. He didn't sleep. He didn't do anything. How can he sleep? There's so much to learn, etc. So basically, from the starting point of part one, and we'll see in part three that we're going to have some more contrasting ideas to this, but the starting point is that the main message from the classical Mefarshim of Pirkei Avos is that what is it that the message of Rabbi Tarfon is? What's the main message? Learn Torah. There's lots of Torah to learn, not a lot of time. Don't waste time. That's the message. So now, look at part two. I think there's going to be a deep understanding. You'll see a lot of Mefarshim here trying to explain to us, why is it that we're so lazy? Why is it that there's such a pushback to not learn? If at the end of the day, to highlight the question even more, if we firmly believed that the schar is meruba, right? If we firmly believe that there is reward for this, whether that's reward here and now or whether that's reward in Olam Haba, if we firmly believe how much reward we can get, right? If somebody offered you $1 million to go to a shir, right? Would you stay in bed or would you go to the shir? Presumably, you know, you go to the shir. So why is it that even though, is it because we don't believe that? Is it because we don't see it? Is it because we don't internalize the fact that this schar is meruba? And now, keep in mind, what should our brains also be thinking about topics that we've covered in the past? Right. Why am I focusing on schar here? Why am I focusing on reward? We've mentioned numerous times before is that there's this tension, if you will, between whether my focus should be on reward or not reward. Here, Rabbi Tarfon is highlighting reward, which highlights the question as to if there's so much reward, why are we, if we have a negative view on how much we accomplish, why are we so bad at taking advantage of this? So we're going to see now a bunch of Mefarshim give different approaches to why they think, their understanding of human nature as to why we don't take advantage of this learning. So look at source number six, part two, laziness, procrastination. This is Rabbeinu Yonah is continuing right where we left off in source number five. I just split it in order to make it clearer in terms of the messages. So va'poalim atzelim va'schar harbe. So the workers are lazy, but there is much reward. So elu b'nei adam. So here's his explanation. These are people shemis atzlim lilmod Torah. These are people, it sounds like saying b'nei adam. It's like this is everybody, right? Everybody, perhaps, is lazy when it comes to learning Torah. Ki gam ha-chachamim has reason misatzlin hein. Even the Talmidei Chachamim, even the people who are learning day and night, still in the big picture, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, are still lazy. They still don't take advantage of the proper amount of time. Again, perhaps if we can give some meaning to this, if let's say you had a long day at work, or let's say even let's go with the Chacham, they're learning Torah all day, right? And now it's 10 o'clock at night, and they're exhausted. And somebody knocks on their door and says, I'll give you $1 million to learn another hour, right? Would you not learn that another hour? So we don't internalize, we don't view the same way as, oh, I can get, quote unquote, $1 million of schar by just learning another hour. Right? So again, it could be anybody. Whether you do a little bit of learning, a lot of bit of learning, you still have this problem, Rabbeinu Yonah says, of laziness. Kiteva, now here's his explanation. Kiteva ha'adam hu lehis atzel. It's human nature to be lazy. Ve'ein adam nitzal heimena. You can't, this is so sort of like pessimistic here. You can't escape it. Right? This is part of our DNA. This is human nature to be lazy. But yesh marber v'yesh mamet. Right? There's some people who are very lazy, and there's some people who are, you know, a medium amount of lazy, or a small amount of lazy. But his point here is that everybody struggles with this. Everybody, to some extent, is lazy. Look at source number 7, the Me'iri. I think adds a little bit to the discussion here. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Hayom Chatzar, Ba Laha'ir. So Rabbi Tarfon's message here is to relate to us, to teach us. So we should be quick and make sure that we learn a lot of Torah. Because we don't have a lot of time on this world. And there's so much to learn. Again, similar concepts that we've seen already. Second line, fourth word, where I italicized and bolded. What does it mean that we're lazy? Wrote Selomar. Shehalomdim tivam lerov haTorah batzrichos zman ra. So why are we lazy? I think he's adding something. What is he adding here? Rabbeinu Yonah just said that it was our nature to be lazy. He's adding an element. Because it's hard, right? Lerov haTorah batzrichos zman ra. It takes a lot of time. There's so much to do. And it's really difficult. So why am I lazy? Because the job is very hard. That's an interesting spin to this. So interesting. So I'll give you a relatable point. So I was seeing somebody in therapy where he presented himself as a lazy procrastinator. Right? And when we delved into it a little bit, I mean, you know, straight A's, a little bit exaggerated, but works really hard, takes advantage of a lot of his time, but he considered himself a lazy procrastinator. Why? Because when he had a huge essay and a huge assignment that he wasn't sure if he could accomplish or not, he got anxious, and because he was anxious, he pushed it off. He avoided. That's what we do when we get anxious, unless we work on this. We usually avoid things that make us, that provoke anxiety. Again, not necessarily the healthiest thing to do, and that's one of the things that we work on in therapy is to approach, not avoid anxiety. So here, the framing here is not that he's lazy, but that he's anxious. And if we deal with the anxiety, then you can be more productive. So I think that the Me'iri is saying, again, I might be reading too much into this, but he's not just saying we're lazy by nature. He's saying that our mindset is that there's so much work to do, and it takes so much time that I almost give up hope to an extent. Right? So it's almost like I'm avoiding because the work is so hard. Now, this is going to help us for the next Mishnah, because what's Rabbi Tarfon going to say in the next Mishnah? I think we alluded to this last time. He says, Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. Right? It's not on you to finish it. So it's almost like he's going to come back next Mishnah, we'll talk about this, and tell us, don't worry, you don't have to finish everything. But it's interesting that that creates that according to the Me'iri, at least that's my approach here of understanding, is that creates the anxiety. I have to hold on 1 second. I apologize to do this. I'm getting a phone call. I think it's from the bounce house people. I just want to make sure they can get in the building. Give me a second. Hello? Hi, how are you? We're bringing the smaller bounce house in the first floor catering hall, and the inflatable also floor to the gym. I'm going to give you the phone to somebody for a second. He's going to give you his number, and you're going to contact him. Okay. So you can just take my phone and call him. Here, hold on. There you go. Yeah. All right, we're back on. All right. I'm recording it on the computer too, so we'll figure it out. Okay, so we have Barbara's going to reflect on this idea for a second. Yeah. Louder.
Right.
Okay, so Barbara's father, who she's helped sponsoring this morning in Lula Nishmaso, it exemplifies this trait of not being lazy, so we all could learn from him, perhaps. So again, just to recap what we just said, so I think the Meiri added this element, at least the way I'm reading it in, that when it comes to our laziness, and the more we understand this, and this is really what I want to get at for this section here, the more we understand where our personal source of laziness is, and I think the Mefarshim here guide us along that journey to try to internalize this, the more we understand where our procrastination comes from, if we can distinguish between, you know, being lazy from a, as we'll see some other explanations of lazy versus anxiety, etc., the more we could try to overcome it and not just use it as a statement that could be inspiring, yes, but now I can internalize it and realize how I can actually overcome the problem of this laziness. That's, I think, what the Meiri adds here. Let's see some other explanations, and then we'll summarize and try to internalize again. So Rabbeinu Bachaya here, here in source number 8, says, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hayom Katsar, Huaya Omer, Yomar Zmanos is the second line here in the middle. Zmanos Adam Katsar Vein Shehus B'Yom. So as we've mentioned before, we don't live so long on this earth, and there's not a lot of time during the day. As we say in Tehillah, maybe 70 years, but there's so much to learn. So for our focus here, the Po'alim are lazy, so what does Aluva Etzlam mean? It's not valuable to them. It's disdainful in their eyes, maybe. I don't know how strong you want to read this, but it's that they don't treat the Torah with the proper respect. Right? So this is another possible explanation. Right? So we're starting off, we're lazy. Why are we lazy? Okay, maybe it's too much for me to do. It's overwhelming. That's one reason why I might be lazy. Here's another reason why I might be lazy, because I don't treat this endeavor with as much respect as I should, so it doesn't motivate me. I don't motivate myself, rather, because of my mindset in order to perform, in order to get things done. And then he quotes some other sources to bring out this point, but the point here is that it's because I don't treat the Torah with the proper respect. So look at source number 9. We're going to get another idea here. It would be Avram Azulai. And again, I encourage all of us to think, honestly, what's the reason? Rabbeinu Yonah said, we all are guilty of this at some points in time. What's the reason why I'm lazy? What's the reason why I don't get things done? So look at Rabbi Avram Azulai. End of the first line. Yeah. Okay. So. So I hear you. For you, that might not be relevant. Trust me, for some it is. Right? There are some people who... The question is, how is it that people don't respect Torah? The answer is, I don't know, but it's true. Right? Not everybody. And thank God, maybe not you and me and somebody else, but there are people who don't respect the Torah, at least enough. And maybe if you want to read it a little bit more subconsciously, maybe we say we respect the Torah, but deep down inside, again, if I have that choice at 9 o'clock at night, maybe to read the news or to watch TV or to learn some Torah. So if I choose the other, then is it not at least on some level that I'm not regarding the Torah in the proper respect that I should? To some level, maybe I would never say I don't respect the Torah because I wouldn't go that far and I don't consciously like fully believe that. But deep down inside, maybe our actions show that at least we don't hold it to a high enough esteem that it would motivate us to accomplish as much as we possibly can. Okay? So, maybe that's even worse. I don't know. Okay. Let's see a few more sources, then we'll recap. Look at source number 9. Rabbi Avram Azulai here on Perkei Avos, the end of the first line. Baschar harbe uvalabayis dochek lefisha atzlus hapo b'malachto tie le'echem ibeisibo. So he gives us a little bit of industrial and organizational psychology here, right? Why would some workers be lazy, right? Why would the work not get done? So we have some business managers here. So why would work not get done by your workers? So he gives two possible explanations. One, omipneshe nosnim lo schar muat. You don't pay them enough, right? So it's not incentive enough to, for them to work enough. V'lachein hu misasik batzel. So I don't, you don't pay me enough. I'm not going to work that hard. Very simple. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two is you can pay them all the much, all the money in the world. All the siva shenish afil she has schar harbe. The manager's not in the store, right? Or the owner's not in the store. So you could pay me a great salary, but if there's no repercussions, if nobody's on top of me, then of course I'm going to try to cheat the system, right? Right. Maybe you're incentivizing me. You know, you'd have to come in and analyze the business. Maybe the incentive is to not work so hard. Right? So you have to figure out, he's saying, again, there's obviously more than two reasons, but on a simple level here, you can either there's not enough, either you're not getting paid enough, or that there's not enough management on top. And he says that's what the Mishnah, both of those reasons, the Mishnah is touching on. Right? The schar is harbe, and the baal bayis is dochik. Right? The manager's there. God's watching over you. He cares. He's not off on vacation somewhere while you're running the office. Right, so both of those, he says, is what this Mishnah is coming towards. Flip the page. He continues. This is side two. I think this one we could definitely empathize with. V'yesh mefarshim ha'poal matzelim. Again, understanding why are we lazy? Remez l'ramach evarim asher him poalei ha'mitzvah. So it's referencing our body, basically creating a distinction, a dichotomy between our nefesh and our guf. So our nefesh, our spiritual selves might be motivated, but guess what? It's stuck with our lazy bones, right? Our ramach evarim, asher him poalei mitzvos. Without them, you know, I can't go and do active mitzvos if my body is lazy. I just can't do it, right? If my mind is lazy, then I can't learn, right? V'heim kliyam hamasa kibios kulam michomer kortze koretz einam chafatzim b'torah mitzvos. Because my body, again, according to this understanding, is made out of this just physical material, right? It's not going elohim israshim lasos mitzvos. It's going to be lazy. It's going to procrastinate, and that's why it says that you should look for yourself. Lazeh omer laadam tira kimitivam gam apoalim shem evari aguf. So there's part of us that's naturally lazy. So this is the struggle. The struggle is that we have to work as hard as we can to make our body nice and lean, and in terms of its ability to go and run, to do kal kanesh, are easy to run and do mitzvahs. Yeah, Chippy. So that's a good question. Right, so it's a good question. So we're going to see in a second, that's part of what I want to do in part three, is to expand it a little bit. So you're right. So far, the message seems to be specifically to men in their mitzvah of Talmud Torah and how they're supposed to use the time. It's interesting to think about the context, right? So why was Perkei Avos written? This is a broader discussion. We're not going to get into details. I'm just going to raise some issues here. Perkei Avos was basically, perhaps you could understand it as a guidebook for what it means to succeed in yeshiva. Right, so obviously, if that's the case, women at the time weren't included in that direct message. That doesn't mean that the messages aren't relevant as well to women, especially as times change. Maybe the messages become more relevant. But as we'll see, even within this Mishnah, even at that time, there are ways to understand it in that it's motivating for women. As of right now, if the direct message is just Talmud Torah, then it's a stretch to say that at that time they meant it geared towards women too, because women were not commanded in Talmud Torah, and most, if not majority of women, didn't know how to read, didn't know how to learn, didn't know anything. Again, maybe that changes nowadays, but it's a broader discussion. Yeah. Right. 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 So Rabbi Shlomo is bringing up Right. So I think you're bringing up that this is essentially what the struggle is here. This is the struggle. The struggle is, it's one thing, and I thank you to. for highlighting the fact that it's a metaphor here. One thing that we're going to do in the future. Right. So one thing we're going to do in the future is we're going to talk about the concept of metaphor within Pirkei Avos as a specific sort of subsection, and maybe, I don't know when we're going to do it, maybe next week, maybe in the future, of how metaphors work in Pirkei Avos. But I think that this is the point. The point is here, so we have, Rabbi Shlomo is making an excellent point, we have an abstract concept here. Right? It's one thing to say that I work and I get paid. Right? That's reinforcing. That's tangible. That's concrete. Right? That's how psychology works. Is that that's my reinforcement that motivates behavior because I keep getting my my little candy at the end of the day, right? I keep getting my salary. Here, when it comes to God and theological issues, that's not concrete. This is abstract. This requires mind work. This requires us to have a belief system that doesn't. It's not tangible. It's not, at least in from a, maybe it is. Maybe we have to work on it being more tangible. We have to see God in our life more. Maybe that's part of the message. But you're right. The use of metaphor here is there's a distinction. You can distinguish between a poel getting money and me serving God because one's tangible and concrete, one's abstract and doesn't have any fruition until after I can't even know when that is. That's after I'm dead. I don't understand that. I don't see it. Right? Yeah. Right, so good. So I think so. You bring up a good point. So the question is, can you see the reward in Olam Hazeh? And maybe that's a message. Maybe that's a message here that we have to more internalize that there is schar in this world. We have to see also, we're not going to do this today. I'm not sure we're going to do it next week either, but there are different mepharshim. What does that mean, schar harbe? I think it's going to relate to next week's Mishnah on itself. Schar where? Schar here? Schar in Olam Haba? What does schar actually mean? So I think your point is well taken here, is that if maybe the message, it's still, Rabbi Shloni's point is still a good one, even if you say that it means that you have to internalize the fact that you're getting reward in this world too, and that you could appreciate everything, it's still not a paycheck, right? It's still not as black and white as I do something, and here's your direct reward for doing that. I need to internalize a belief system that's what's happening, which might be the message. It's easy for you. And I'm happy it is, but it's not, but I think it's a struggle. It's a struggle for a lot of people to be able to internalize this. And let's say you get up and you're saying, okay, Baruch Hashem, everybody's healthy. What if not everybody's healthy? Right? What if somebody's sick? Now what do I say to myself? Okay, now that creates more theological problems. And again, the message still might be you still need to internalize it, but that's not the same thing as getting a paycheck. Right? I think that's Rabbi Shloni's point. I think it's an excellent point. That's the question. That's the question. It's not so clear, right? So it's not so clear. When I get a real paycheck, it's clear. It's concrete. This is not clear. It's not concrete, which is why this is a harder thing to internalize, but that doesn't mean we can't try. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to attempt to do so. Okay, let's keep going a little bit. Source number 10. And this is the last one, I believe, in this section, and then we'll recap this section, and we should have a little bit of time to try the next section. Maybe not. We'll find out. So source number 10, the Sforno. Also commenting, I think, a deep point on this concept of laziness, and he's a little bit less understanding to some of the points that were made. So he says here, Roi litmoa, we should be basically in wonderment, right? This doesn't make any sense. Al atselus rav b'nei ha'adam. The fact that most people are lazy doesn't make any sense. Kimat kulam, kamara kolsar, can't really read it. Yachruna Alasa. I'm like, what? What is it? Yachdav. Oh, okay. So the point here is that that it seems like everybody's lazy, and I don't get it. He's saying I don't understand why are people lazy. Sha'af alpi shelo yaasku b'torah uvemitzvos mi ahavo miyira. So okay, I get it. You're not going to fulfill mitzvos from love and fear of God. Those are hard abstract concepts. Hayalahem la'asuk patar b'shvilaschar to harbe. So at the very least, you should do it because of the reward. Again, these are similar points we've been bringing up. Sha'adam ocha pirosah ba'olam hazeh is directly what we just talked about. You get reward in this world. Karen Kamas Lomabon, you also get reward in the next world. Bleez Suffolk. No doubt about it. You're getting reward here. You're getting reward there. And you have to work hard to internalize this. But the point is he doesn't get it. If I'm guaranteed this reward, and presumably I believe in this reward, how come we don't follow through? Vihine, continuing. Chayei adam k'tzarim be'erach. Life is short. Elam lachashi arucha me'eretz midah. Again, similar concepts are recurring through all the mefarshim, but there's a lot of stuff to do. Ubal bayis dochek, and God is knocking. Shesam b'teva ha'adam b'yitziraso. This is beautiful. He put within our nature, in creation, in human nature, sheyisave ladas. What does that mean? That we want to know. That we want to learn. We want more knowledge. Bleez Suffolk. Vayamishtadla, with no doubt about it. Vayamishtadla bazel lulei tavas yetzara. And we have this, the way he's understanding this, we'll see some psychology on this in a second. But he's saying that we have this drive that's built into our nature to love learning, to love knowledge, to want to acquire and understand more. Okay? But he's just highlighting his question. If that's the case, then why am I so lazy? Why am I not doing this? Right, he also put that other stuff, right? If you stopped there, we would have been okay, right? So, lule tavas yetzahara. But what's the problem? There's a lot of taivas. There's a lot of yetzahara kicks us off the way. Elehem. Sorry, the printing here is not so good. Alayam nocha b'tanu gos b'nei adam ba'amram. Ooh. What is it? El ha-menucha. Oh, there you go. So, yetzar el ha-menucha b'tanu gos b'nei adam ba'amram. What is that? Zal. Ribono shel olam. Ritzoneinu lasos ritzoncha. Mima akeb. Seor shebi'isa. Okay, basic point here. If we didn't get every word, it's very bad typeset here. But the main idea is that we want to learn, we want to know, but we have the Yetzer. It stops us. So now, I found this point interesting. If you look at the bottom here, this is a famous psychological study from 1982. It's a concept called need for cognition. So can we question this premise? And so how do we understand the fact that, you know, okay, we're Baruch Hashem out here on a Sunday morning learning Torah. We want to know. We want to understand more. We want to learn. But is it really true? Have we never come across people who seem to not want to learn, right? Who seem to not care about, right? who don't care about acquiring more knowledge, but not just in school, adults too, right? So it seems that it's not so simple. I get this 4-0, and what he's saying could fit with what we're about to say too. But just on this, to say that everybody has this desire for knowledge. Right? So is that really true? Does everybody have a desire for knowledge? Yeah.
We have from little children. They walk and walk. A lot happens when you're in school. You have a teacher that asks a question, right. Goes around the room and says, you're all wrong. This is the right answer.
Right, so perhaps it's natural, maybe it's built in that we do want to learn, that curiosity, and then it's slowly sucked out of us depending on our parents or teachers or environment, etc. So yeah, these are interesting things to think about. I want to highlight one concept here. The concept's called need for cognition. So if you look here, we'll read the skip the abstract, go to the bottom two sections, right on the bottom of the page here. It says, studies of cognition have tended to focus on two issues, the nature of knowledge and the character of the underlying processes that enable the acquisition and use of this knowledge. Here, in this study, we proposed to investigate a related phenomenon. We sought to identify differences among individuals in their tendency to engage in and enjoy thinking. Right. So this is the concept of need for cognition. To what extent do you love knowing more? To what extent do you want to learn and grow and gain more knowledge? And what there's been studies since this is the main groundbreaking study in 1982. There were some previous studies before that as well. But basically, starting this field is that there's dozens and dozens and hundreds of studies by now that try to understand this concept. What distinguishes people who want to know and people who don't want to know? And yes, how they grew up will affect them. But this is fascinating. The sort of saying, we love to learn. It's built into our nature. And somehow it gets sucked out by Yetzer Hara to some extent. Some of us more, some of us less. Are you talking about need for cognition or? Right. So this, I'm not sure. I'm not holding on every single study that happened with this or anything, but I think it's interesting to get to the point. Meaning, is it true that every child is born with this need for cognition and this need for understanding and love of learning and that we just suck it out of them? Or is it that maybe, again, there might be built-in biological differences in terms of how much do people enjoy thought processes, thinking, learning more, growing more, creating new categories, fitting things into each other. So that geschmack, that amazement, that hana, that pleasure that some of us may get out of learning, that may get out of hearing a drasha, there are other people who just give means I'm losing my recording every once in a while because he took my phone. But we'll take two comments in a second. I just want to recap what we've seen and then we'll... Part of us that's lazy, that doesn't take advantage of all the time we have to learn. The question is why. So we started off, if you just want to go track through your mafarshim, Rabbeinu Yonah just gives us a broad statement that we all have this. We all have this element of laziness. The Meiri added here, again, the way I'm reading it, is that some of this laziness doesn't come from just laziness, but comes from the fact that we are daunted by the task. There's too much to do, which perhaps creates this level of anxiety that makes us back off and avoid. And again, if that's us, then maybe we have to learn how to approach and not let that get in the way. And then Rabbeinu Bachaya adds here that perhaps there's an element of that we don't treat Torah with the proper respect. And again, if that's us, at least on a whether it's a conscious or subconscious level, we have to start thinking, how much do we value Torah versus other things in our lives? Rabbeinu Avraham Azulai added just a physical element that our bodies are lazy. It's hard to learn. It's hard to be motivated to get out of bed in the morning when we're just, our body is exhausted. I would say takeaway from that is that we have to treat our bodies right too, right? So the more we stretch and the more we do acro yoga and the more we do all of this stuff, where our bodies become more fit and nimble to be able to jump out of bed in the morning. That's part of this idea. That's part of not being lazy. And finally, the Sforno adds this idea here in terms of the struggle between, on the one hand, what we might have built into us, this desire and need and enjoyment and pleasure that we get from learning. On the other hand, there's some element of this Yetzer Hara that takes that away from us, that sucks that from us, that creates this struggle. I will leave this final 5 minutes or so up to you. We can either do part four or I can take questions. Part four it is. No? Questions? I think I'd rather do part four because I don't want to leave it open for next week. If you want to follow me around, you know, blowing up these various inflatable stuff for the Purim Carnival, I'll answer questions as we go along. But I think this is important. This is because we referenced this already in terms of the expanded usage. So far, in terms of the message, it's been Torah, Torah, Torah. You got to learn Torah. There's so much Torah to learn, not enough time to learn. What we're going to see here in sources 11, 12, 13, 14, whether or not we'll see everything inside, that's not going to happen. But you can look at it on your own. I'll just give you an overview of what happens here. At least in source number 11, 12, and 13, we're going to see that later Musar Sfarim, not commentaries on Perkei Avos, but later Musar Sfarim are going to take this Mishnah and apply it to new concepts. So it's one thing to be a commentary on the Mishnah, presumably the main message of the Mishnah, as we said, is Torah study. But that doesn't mean I'm limited to that. I can use the message of there not being enough time to accomplish things and apply it to other ideas and concepts within Judaism as well. So that we see explicitly here in source number 11, the Orchos Tzaddikim, a medieval Musar Sefer. He says here when it comes to the concept of tshuva, Hasheni im ya'acher tshuvaso ad sheyichnos v'yosof hon, az yachmon v'yichsof yoser, k'mo shamar v'seir. So if you wait, you push off, you procrastinate it. When it comes to doing tshuva, until I get a little bit more money, right? You're just going to push it down, right? That you're going to not do tshuva then either. You're never going to fulfill all of your desires. So basically, what's the point? If you keep pushing off, doing tshuva, doing more mitzvahs, learning more Torah, don't. Why? Because he finishes it off. Kemosha Amru. Last line in that section, source number 11. Source number 12, Chovos Halavavos, does the same thing when it comes to tshuva. Hazman, last thing where he talks about in the concept of tshuva, Hayom Katsar v'malacha meruba. Same thing in source number 13, the Shari tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, which is the same Rabbeinu Yonah in his the primary shot message in Pirkei Avos seems to be Torah-oriented. Death, and he connects that to the concept of Hayom Katsar v'malacha meruba. Again, I'm skipping a little bit, but you can read it inside. Do meleches haTorah v'tikun hanefesh v'asagas hamilos. So he just now adds a bunch of different things in here. When it comes to learning to fixing our nefesh, getting these milos, improving our character, like Ava, Yira, Dvekus, all of those things are hard. He ties Torah, he doesn't just these things, we have a lot to do. Last source is the Chafetz Chaim. We'll end with this. So the Chafetz Chaim here brings this into contemporary times. And this whole essay that he has here is on this concept of Hayom Katsar v'malacha meruba. And I'll just give you the main 2 points that he says outside. He says, we got a lot to do. We have a lot to accomplish. And he gives us practical things that we do poorly back in the early 20th century, and perhaps we do even worse in the early 21st century. So in the third paragraph here, in the... can I find the word? I can't find it inside right now. Oh, there it is. Third paragraph, fourth line, towards the end of the line, five words from the end. Kriyat itonim. Newspapers, right? So the Chafetz Chaim starts criticizing people for reading newspapers. The concept of knowing news, maybe he was, maybe he's not, but he's definitely against of reading the news cover to cover, of reading, of going through your Twitter feed and your Facebook feed and reading every single article that comes out. The main idea that his message is, I think, is there's one thing to know what's going on in the world, okay, but it's a very big balance between using all of your cognitive energy and getting so upset and afraid about all of the things that are happening in the world and then not having enough time to learn Torah, and not having enough energy to learn Torah. So there has to be a balance to be found between things that perhaps, I have to empathize with this a lot. I know there are definitely people here, I can assume, who love for good reason to reading newspapers, but I empathize with this, with the Chafetz Chaim very much so. I just don't get it personally, because my mindset and in almost anything that I have in my life is, if I can't do anything about it, it's not worth that much time and energy. So just me knowing things that aren't inherently important to either Torah or my personal growth, I just don't care that much about them. Now, I get there's another mindset here, and that we, you know, it's important to know what's going on in the world, and it's important to know and to be able to discuss things. I'm not going against that. I personally am not that way. But even if that's the other person in this room who might be thinking that way, there's still a message of balance, right? There's still a message of how much time, even if I value reading the news and think it's important, how much time do I submit to that versus how much time do I learn Torah and pick up a sefer? If I'm spending an hour doing my Seder in the Wall Street Journal, right, maybe I should spend that 15 minutes doing the Wall Street Journal and 45 minutes doing Daf Yomi. I don't know, but that's something to think about in terms of the message. The other thing he talks here is in terms of smoking cigarettes. So it's interesting because you think, oh, people didn't know back in the day that it was dangerous. So the Chafetz Chaim, I'm not sure when he wrote this book, but he died in 1936, right? And he says here, look at the last paragraph here. But v'gamla eila matzah yetzara tachpula eich lelachtam ba'avon bitul Torah. But there's another way. Notice his main approach is that it's just a time waster, right? V'hu ishun ha-sigaran v'ha piperson, right? Shechutz mizah shehem azikin laguf kiyadua. Besides for the fact that it damages your body as it's known, od gormim hezek l'nishmaso b'bitul Torah. It's just a waste of time. So now again, I'm not ranking on people who smoke. Bad for you, shouldn't smoke. Some people are addicted. He deals with addiction here too. That's not the point. If we don't smoke, I'm not, again, my message whenever I learn something is what's my message for me? And I think the message is we all have things like this that we spend so much time investing in that we don't really need to do. But we don't realize it in the moment. So if I have a decision to make, coffee, right? So I have a decision to make. Do I get coffee or not get coffee? That's not a question. Of course I'm going to get coffee, right? But the real question is, why did I create this addiction in myself in the first place that I need to waste 25 minutes a day, if not... You invest an hour of your day waiting online to get coffee. And then save that extra time to go learn and do a mitzvah. So again, the point here is that we should all apply to ourselves something that we do that we waste time doing that we need to do and invest that time into Torah, whether that's learning Torah, whether that's becoming better people, whether that's, you know, the Ava, the Yira, the building of character, doing mitzvos, gemilos chasadim, whatever it is, can we reevaluate the time, because at the end of the day, hazman katsa, that we don't have that much time, right? Hazman katsa from alacha meruba. We have a lot to do and not so much time. How much time are we wasting on things that we don't actually need to do? Something we all need to reflect on our own. I can take one question, two questions. You need a break, and you need to figure out. I'm not being about 24/7. We're not that. Like, I get that. I'm not that. And I'm not going to come out of this thinking that. But if there's some element of saving 15 minutes of wasted time that I don't need, I need a break. So again, contemporary application. I need a break. So I'm going to watch some TV at night. Right? So there's TV and then there's TV. Right? So there's one show. You know, so you turn on Netflix and you watch one show, 22 minutes. Two shows, 44 minutes, right? Three shows, 66 minutes. And all of a sudden, it's been 2 hours. I didn't need a two-hour break. I needed a half-hour break, right? So we need to be able to put in our system ways that we can distinguish between relaxing, breaks, and wasting time. Because those are two separate things, and we can't just put on wasting time into a relaxing hat. We can't just put reading newspaper for 2 hours in a I need to know about the world hat. Right? There's a balance here. We have to figure it out because otherwise we're just going to waste our time and there's not a lot of time to waste. Okay, yeah. I don't know. What's the context of the sefer? I'm not sure. We'll look it up. Oh, yes, the article in the back. This one I don't have time for. The article in the back. What book is it from? So it's from an article. Maybe I'll spend some time on that. We'll cover that next week. Okay. So the article on the back is a completely separate point that's fascinating. It has to do with rabbinic understandings of Greek culture, which comes back to what we spoke about in terms of apikoros. Statement may relate to what was a popular aphorism in the day that was used in other contexts, not a Jewish context, and how he may have borrowed that to apply it to Jewish ideas. That's an interesting idea. We'll save that for next time. I don't want to shortchange that. Yeah. Right. Right. So he created. Card. Right. Yeah. Last, and then we're gonna bench. Yeah. Okay. So that's a good point. So the Chafetz Chaim, I think it's a nice way of broadening it out. We could close with this. The Chafetz Chaim is not necessarily, you have to read the whole thing inside, but the focus isn't necessarily that we're lazy. It's the focus on that there are a lot of things that we waste time with, which is another element. Again, this is my broader point. If you want a takeaway, the point is that it's not just about laziness. It's about where does my personal laziness come from? And being too physical, does my personal laziness come from wasting time reading? Personal laziness come from being anxious, right? So we have to know, where does my laziness come from? The main takeaway is you got to get over that and try to accomplish, right? Okay, with that, we'll close. We'll meet you guys next week. If anybody wants to help volunteer for the carnival, we'll take volunteers.